Thank you. I tell our preacher, there's a good sermon has a good beginning and a good end, and keep them close together. So I'll see what I can do. As Terrell Farms is a family business.
There's usually a picture with it. There we go.
So the bottom. Okay. We're located on the very west edge of the Nebraska Sand Hills. When Mitch's talk about bare ground, that's one thing we try to avoid, but it's a management issue, and you can even see in the background in this picture, there's some bare ground in there. But we're passionate about our grass and establishing better grasslands. We, as an operation, lease 100% of our ground. The family does own some, but primarily our land is strictly leased. If you know Nebraska, grazing or costs, the biggest majority of it, or about a third of it, is goes back to property tax. And I think if you talk to any rancher, farmer from Nebraska that's here, that's a passion that we have, is to try to get that changed. But our AUM costs are quite a bit higher than the outlying states. I'm going to get this right yet. This is some of the type of range we lease. In this particular case, this ranch, they'll let us graze the meadows. We don't hay. We do have one ranch that is, she prefers we graze the meadows, and we'll utilize some of that hay and sell it off. But we're a low input operation. We don't normally put much hay into our cows. Of course, that all depends on weather issues. We invest in leased ground. It doesn't bother us to put some money into our ranches. We're passionate about our grass, and if we can utilize a piece of ground by putting a cross fence in, putting water lines, we put major water lines in, tanks, even fenced out our streams, although if we had a picture after this spring, that doesn't look that good. That our flooding pretty much took all the cover off the side of those banks. That's our cow herd. By having these cross fences, pipelines, we're able to bunch these cows up, manage that grass a lot better. We buy all our cows. In 2012, we sold quite a few cows, and we had an opportunity to lease a ranch. We needed cows, so we started buying cows. We bought a lot of old cows. Low-dollar cows, where we could get the numbers up, and we sort of like that. We don't like seeing 3 and 4 year old cows open. That's such a high-dollar loss, as you all know, to an operation. So we don't deal with many young cows. We buy a lot of older cows. We terminal cross them all to Charolais bulls. Our ultimate goal would be a supply of crossbred cows. That is hard to find. I think yesterday in the crossbred research, how few of crossbred cows are really available. And one of the big issues is those crossbred cows last longer in a herd. And I've known that for years, just because of my dad had a small cow herd. Every 4 or 5 years, he'd buy some Hereford bulls and throw on this black cow herd, and we'd get these black baldy cows, and you'd get lucky, and every at the age of our cows, it was always the black baldies were the old cows that were around. So I've been a firm believer in a crossbred cow. Now, as I say that, probably this group of cows with that black-nosed Charolais cow is, of the cows we bought, are probably our favorite cows. We lose some 100% heterosis, but I don't think they have to be a black baldy or a red baldy. I think there's some real merit in that cow if you know your maternal end of the Charolais. Those cows actually came from California. We follow the droughts, and that's where we buy a lot of cows, is wherever there's drought areas. Yep. And we've actually bought cows, I think, from 11 different states in the last 6 years. So we get quite a diverse area, but it seems to work. They seem to adjust. We like to buy cows that come from a higher stress area than our area. We sort of want them to think that they've been living in a Motel 6 and we're taking them to the Holiday Inn. So they upgrade a little. And by using those Charolais bulls, as colored as our cows are, we can get some pretty consistent colored calves. You know, there's the red nose and the black nose. They're marketed together. They do well together. We'll take some onto a finish. Mostly our odd colors or odd bunches we'll send down to a commercial feedlot. And they've killed well. We aren't getting to $270 bonuses, we've gotten $80 to $100 premium on our cattle down there. Something that's a little unique is we start calving May 15th. We leave our bulls in for about 100 days. We would rather have a late calving cow than an open cow. We start with two different ranches where we start calving May 15th. We'll calve for 3 weeks, and that'll be one herd on each ranch. The cows that are left are commingled onto one ranch. We'll run a group from June 15th to July 15th, basically. Well, not even that long. Probably about July 10th to, or June 10th to July 15th, and that'll be our summer grazing, our summer herd. And then what's left is our fall herd, and a lot of times those will be preg-checked, or we'll know there's some dries in there. We'll get rid of them, and that's usually a pretty good cow market. Those cows are usually pretty fat in July, so we're able to market them that way. This started in 2012 also. 2012 had a lot to do with our decisions we're making today. We know our calves at about 100 days in 2012. And we had very few health issues. Those babies just weaned so easy. And so that became part of our practice, partly because we had an old herd of cows, and it took the pressure off of them. Partly because they weaned early, health was good. We could get those things going and sell a weaned calf in November. It allows us to run a few more cows because we don't have that presence of that 500-pound calf eating grass. So we're all about cow numbers. And that's part of the reason we don't run heifers, is that's one more herd to manage, and it also lets us run more cows, bringing in more calves each year. Uh, We turn most of our bulls over annually. We have a supplier, Hebert Charlet, that works with us. And we've got a customer in South Texas that will take those bulls after we've used them. So we get possession of those bulls about the 1st of May. We'll turn out middle of August. And by the middle of October, they're pulled, they're trick tested, semen tested, and shipped to South Texas. So when we had our cost yesterday of bulls, you know, they were talking $60 to $120. On this particular bulls, you know, we'll sell them for what we pay for them. So we can get down to that $20, $25 a service. So that makes us pretty competitive. We do keep a few bulls around to run with all of our bunches to make fall calves after we've pulled the bulk of the bulls. But it's one of our economic advantages is having these bulls. God, it's nice just not to have them around. That's our 8-year-old grandson taking bulls out to pasture. So those bulls have a nice handle. He does a good job with them. Something that also happened because of 2012. We had a field of corn that we had a lot of ear droppage. We grazed, put our cold cows on them, ate it down. We ran yearlings on it, cleaned it up. We had all this kernels of corn laying out there. And we were at a conference and talked to a sheep lady and said, could sheep utilize that? And she said, yes. In fact, we got a friend that lost his winter range because of the drought. So within a week, we had 800 ewes, 2 sheep wagons, 2 sheep herders, 2 mules, a horse, 3 herding dogs, 4 guard dogs. Anything of his that ate came to our place. He was supposed to come get them the middle part of April. 3 days before the trucks were coming, we got a call. He died of a heart attack. So his widow called and said, you know, can you send him to the sale barn? And it had been in the back of our mind, a multi-species grazing. So we threw an offer to her, and she accepted it. And now we're in the sheep business. But the rule of thumb, there's been research all over the world that you can run a ewe for every cow and take no more range. They select different than cows. And so we're about 800 ewes now. We're up to 1,200. We haven't replaced any of the last 2 years. But that's like running an extra 150 cows in the summer. And if that is a fact that we aren't eating other range, you know, that's like taking in 150 cows. And so it's been a nice enterprise. Wool prices has gone up, which has helped us. Our goal is 115% lamb crop, and we've reached it till the last 2 years, and this year was not very good. That wet, rainy, cold weather is tough on little lambs. You just can't get them under cover, keep them under cover long enough. So this is Danny, our Peruvian sheep herder. We have normally have 2 herders. We're down to Danny right now. They're good guys. They'll take those ewes. We'll go to a pasture, and they'll actually park their camper up on top of a hill. They don't have sheep wagons now. They've got a fifth-wheel camper. They live pretty good. And they'll move those sheep to a different part of that pasture every day. Let's say they might be there 4 or 5 days, and we'll move to a different pasture. So he's actually managing the grazing on each particular pasture with the sheep. And then at night, they tend to coming back up by the camper. We are getting more predator issues. We're getting more guard dogs. We buy dog food by the tote, not by the bake, but they serve their purpose. They're good. Something we've done with some success is irrigated pasture. We had, because of commodity prices, we had a marginal pivot that was a little hard to farm, so we put it to pasture. We did the Jim Garish fencing and water systems, and just a daily move with polywire, and it worked good, except in our mixture, there's probably too much alfalfa. We had bloat issues. We can get along great, and all of a sudden we get a little weather event, rain or cool damp weather, and we can't be right there to manage it that intensively. So we've hated it, and we're trying to figure out a way to get rid of alfalfa. And I think alfalfa is one of those things that you can plant a little bit and the neighboring seeds come over and join them because we got a heck of a stand of alfalfa. We use some cover crops. This is actually pretty much straight turnips we had a few years ago. We like to keep cover on our bare ground. As far as the economics of it, unless you can get it in pretty early, it doesn't really have a payback other than maybe some soil health. But if you're going to try to make money in cover crops, it's not a big deal. It's not there. Something we've done, especially since the low commodity prices, is a custom grow yard. We've got three small lots that we can wean into. They're about 600 head each. We wean those calves. We'll move them on out into corn fields, wheat stubble, feed them with bunks. There's one of the real advantages. We're hauling all those nutrition out from our pit and hay we buy and put it out in those bunks, and then those calves spread it out on the fields, so we're gaining nutrition, fertility through the nutrition, I guess. And I wish I'd have brought a map. Mitch talked about satellites. So we had a field we spread manure on with a corn yield. It was about 30 bushels difference where we spread manure versus not. So there's some real side benefits to this custom grazing. We're in a great location. We went to a meeting in Bozeman a couple years ago in October, and this is on a Sunday, and I don't know how many potloads of cattle were headed our direction. The interesting thing is we came by or back 2 days later, and all the trucks going that way were full of hay because they were having drought up there, and they were hauling hay back up there. But anyway, we're in a great location. This is a good stopping area. All the feedlots, they would really like somebody to wean their calves, get them started. Most of our calves actually spend the winter and go back to grass. But it's been a great enterprise for us. It keeps us fully employed, which we don't have much free time, but I guess we like it that way. We also have started some custom grazing. This is one of our clients. Those calves came in December and January, and we kept them, went out the 1st of April on grass. I think there's 907 heifers in that bunch. They're a fun way to manage when you can get that many cattle in a group. It's easy to herd health is easy to follow and move from pasture to pasture. You can usually pick up what needs doctored in the end, and so it's been a fun enterprise, and it helps us utilize some of that grass and for early spring and get that out of the way, and then goes back to, we'll run cows back on that same grass then in the fall. So So that's a few of the things we do a little different. I know some of these things people are probably doing, but it's sort of unique in our area. We've added quite a few of these things in the last 6 or 8 years. We run a low-cost deal. We're big on crossbred cows, crossbred genetics, doing a terminal cross. Any way we can be competitive, that is what we're after. And I think everybody in here understands the competitiveness. Some people have different ways they're competitive, but this is what we've done. So anyway, we'll see you tonight. If you have any questions, we will be at the bullpen station. So I just want to make one quick comment. This is, I think, the 12th symposium I've been to, and it's sort of like old home week. You run into people that you've known for years and you don't see very much. I hope there's a lot of young people here. I hope they can say in 20 of these that I've been to 20 of these, because it should be a biannual thing as you hit these, because it's a great opportunity. So, thank you.